You're listening to a podcast of Reality Check, hosted by Charles Ellison, Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. till 7 p.m., right here on Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD.
All right, Philadelphia, we're going to head into our resilience segment where we occasionally focus on issues related to the environment, environmental justice, urban planning, and other related topics. And joining us is Maya Van Rossum. She is head of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, but she's also author of the forthcoming book. I can't wait to check it out. It's called The Green Amendment. The Green Amendment, Securing Our Right to a Healthy Environment. And she joins us by phone here on Reality Check. Maya, how are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Excellent. Explain to us what the Green Amendment is. So you make the argument that the only way to really save the planet is to pass a variety of constitutional amendments. And you've done that already with the Pennsylvania Constitution. And so you're basically saying replicate that model nationwide, but just globally, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But starting in the U.S., urging communities in every state in the nation to go forth and try to pass an environmental rights amendment in their state constitutions. And then as we get synergy for that, maybe we can then fight for an environmental rights amendment in the federal constitution. And the reason why this is so important is that the laws that we have on the books today aren't doing the job of protecting our environment. When they were initially passed, they did a good job of curbing a lot of pollution, and they saved a lot of lives, and they created a lot of jobs, and they did a lot of good things. But I think, as probably all your listeners recognize, as everybody across the nation can see, environmental degradation continues, and lives continue to be destroyed and damaged in a multitude of ways because we continue to spew pollution into the air, into the water, into the soil. And while people believe, so one, the laws we have on the books aren't doing the job we need them to do. But the other problem, as I see it, is while people believe in their hearts, and rightfully so, that they should have the right to clean water and clean air and healthy soils in which they can grow healthy foods, the fact of the matter is in the United States of America, for the most part, you don't have that right. You have the right to freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, you have private property rights that are protected as inalienable rights in the Constitution. But your right to a healthy environment, you will not find there, except you'll find it in Pennsylvania and Montana. And as a result, we're getting some really meaningful change in those states on the environmental front. And that's why I think we need to have a Green Amendment movement that sweeps the nation and gives this highest constitutional level protection to everybody, so that we don't just believe we have the right to clean water and clean air, but we actually literally do. And when the government oversteps or somebody else oversteps and infringes on those rights, we have the ability to go straight into court and hold them accountable.
You know, Maya, here's this big think question that I'm sure occasionally comes up in your conversations, and that's why don't people take the environment seriously enough to consider it a right, or to consider a healthy environment a right? What explains that? You know, we should just sort of naturally just want a healthy environment as a right, as a basic human right, but we don't.
Well, I think some people do and some people don't. And I think many people think that it actually is a right. And you know, if you think about it, just as you described, it should be, right? We were born, and we all should have equal access to healthy environments. But our laws aren't written that way, and our constitutions certainly aren't written that way. And people, therefore, while throughout their lives have been taught to really embrace the reality that they have the right to free speech and they have the right to due process, and when those rights are infringed upon, that they should rise up passionately and speak out and fight to preserve those rights. But we haven't learned throughout our lives that we have the right to a healthy environment. So people don't think about environmental protection in those terms. And all too often, when people are rightfully angry because they're being targeted for environmental pollution, in some cases, some communities, time and time and time again, when they rise up to fight for those rights, they're ridiculed, or they're told that they're wrong, that they're eco-terrorists or tree huggers, or they're demeaned in any number of ways, or they're told, well, you know, you're fighting for the fish, but what about my brother's job? And, you know, and so then they get demeaned and somehow get told that they are wrong in fighting mm-hmm. for this right to a healthy environment. And a lot of it comes from marketing, right? Our industrial operators and our developers invest gobs and gobs of money in telling us just those messages, right? So that mm-hmm. so that people really learn not to think about the environment the same way they think about their other rights. And when they do rise up, they are very quickly disempowered by regulators, legislators, and by mm-hmm. media plans. And unfortunately, you know, they don't have enough others mm-hmm. in the community to stand with them. And it's just a horrible mess, frankly.
It is. We're talking with Maya Van Rossum. I'm sorry, Maya, did I pronounce that last name correctly?
Van Rossum, like a pop.
Van Rossum. Okay, there you go. Maya Van Rossum. She's head of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network. Actually, you can get more information on that at Del Riverkeeper on Twitter or on social media, DelawareRiverkeeper.org for more on that organization. And she's also the author of the upcoming book, The Green Amendment, Securing Our Right to a Healthy Environment. So this strategy that you'd like to deploy, Maya, it's a bit difficult, right? I mean, it's a bit difficult in terms of just how difficult it is to promote a healthy environment or promote environmental justice. You know, we're always faced with that issue, but it's also difficult in the political sense, particularly when you're talking about passing it through state legislatures. And a majority of state legislatures are dominated, frankly, by Republicans who are very hostile to the environment or hostile to any hint of doing anything or helping the environment or providing any sort of environmental rights. And so how do you propose you break through that mindset, you break through that logjam when the majority of state legislatures are essentially political climates that make it fairly impossible for you to pass a green amendment?
Yeah, I hear you totally on that. And this is not going to be an easy fix. Communities are not going to say one day that they think they should have an environmental rights amendment like the kind I'm describing, and then, mm-hmm. you know, the next year they'll have one. It's going to take time, and it's going to begin with conversations in living rooms and community meetings and people really getting organized and talking about what our environmental rights in this nation are or actually aren't, and mm-hmm. getting people to change the way they think about their rights to a healthy environment, getting people to understand that they do not, under the laws that we have today, they do not have the right to believe that when they take in a breath of air, that they are not going to fall over coughing with an asthma attack because it's filled with toxic contamination, or when they mm-hmm. get a glass of water from their faucet, that it's not going to be filled with some sort of dangerous toxins harmful to their body. And then mm-hmm. we get people changing the way, get them outraged about that. Talk about that, how in some states, for example, in New York, the right to gamble is a First Amendment right, but the right to a healthy environment is not. Having mm-hmm. those kinds of conversations, get people to start to change the way they're thinking about their environment and their environmental rights. And when we get people outraged in this way, when we get them understanding what truly is the dynamic in this nation when it comes to environmental protection and their lack of the right, you know, the recognition that industries do have more protections on a whole mm-hmm. lot of levels than people to spew pollution into the environment than people have the right to a healthy environment. We mm-hmm. start changing the way they think about it. We start changing what they're demanding. We start talking about the power and importance of a constitutional amendment. And then when the next election comes up, we start asking those who run for election, when it comes time for you to vote, are you going to mm-hmm. vote for the right for my child to have a healthy glass of water or to be able to eat fish not dangerously contaminated with toxins? Or are you going to vote with the industrial operator and his right, his ability, he doesn't have a right, his ability to spew more toxins into the air and into the environment so he can make more profit? You know, mm-hmm. start forcing politicians to answer those questions. And when they answer the wrong way, they don't get voted into office because we're shifting the way, we're changing the way people feel about, talk about, think about the environment. And just, it's like any social justice movement. We're going to have to build power from the grassroots up and getting people to start fighting for, demanding, recognizing that they need a constitutional provision, and doing all that good social movement and grassroots organizing that we need to get there. And by the time we get there, we've changed the mood in the nation, in our communities, and the politicians that are representing us. So when the provision is proposed, it gets passed. And I will say, one of the things I think, you know, that we have going on right now in this nation is just a quick Google search shows you how devastated communities are by environmental damage, and it's getting worse. And so I think people are in a moment in time when they recognize they need something more, they need something better, and they're ready to open up their ears and their minds to this new, better strategy for truly honoring the right to a healthy environment, and therefore the right of all people, including the generations yet to come, to the right to a healthy life, right? Because that's what you need, a healthy environment to have a healthy life. So it's going to be good social activism. And one thing I want to point out that's really powerful about a constitutional provision, you know, because I heard you mention earlier, you know, about social justice, environmental justice. A constitutional provision is very powerful on an environmental justice, in an environmental justice debate dynamic, as a legal strategy, because when you have a properly written and placed constitutional provision, it becomes the obligation of every government official at every level of government to treat every community equitably. That, so it doesn't matter where you live, what your income is, what your history is, what the color of your skin is, how your community has been targeted in the past by industrial operators. When government officials make a decision that place some sort of new environmentally degrading something into a community, if that community can show that that decision steps over the line and takes from them their environmental rights, they have a constitutional challenge. And if that community is in a place where their environment is already so devastated and degraded that it's damaging people's lives and has already taken from them their environmental rights, now you have a constitutional claim for restoration. So it really starts to get at this issue of sacrifice zones. And we can't have them anymore with a properly written and placed constitutional provision that we're fighting for. So it's important in that level as well.
One question I did have, Maya, and thanks for your patience, is do you have to calibrate the conversation when you're talking to different groups, whether they're different demographics or whether they're in a different geographic location, you know, urban populations as opposed to rural or suburban populations, when you're explaining the value of a Green Amendment?
Truthfully, and maybe this is just my personality, I just think it's really important to speak earnestly and honestly. And I think when you're talking about this issue of environmental rights and the importance of a clean and healthy environment to all of us, and how we all suffer when the environment is degraded, you know, to me, it's really the same kind of language. I just think it has to come from the heart and be truthful. And when necessary, when you've got, you know, somebody in the room that's opposing you inappropriately because they're representing some developer, industrial operator, I think you need to be firm. And I will say, you know, while we very much have our sacrifice zones in this nation, and that's one of the problems I think a constitutional amendment helps us deal with and stop and prevent and remedy, you really can go, whether you go from cities to suburban communities to rural communities throughout the nation, you can find those sacrifice zones. So I think they're certainly more prevalent in
Would you say sacrifice zones? What exactly do you mean by sacrifice zones? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so I'm talking about, you know, this is actually a historic concept that's associated with the development of the nuclear arms race. And it was areas the government wrote off as being appropriate for sacrifice while they tested their nuclear weapons.
Got it.
It now has come to mean communities that are just being constantly suffering the onslaught of more and more pollution and environmental degradation. Their lives are getting more and more overwhelmed by pollution. And then what happens is politicians say, well, you know what? They're already damaged. So we have to create another industrial operator. Oh, we'll just put it back in the city. We'll just put it back in that community again. We're not going to go out to, you know, some suburban area where somebody lives and we don't have that problem yet. And so it becomes an excuse for continuing to inflict more and more devastating pollution on the same communities. Usually they're the communities with less voice and less power in our political systems, and they just get sacrificed over and over and over again for the proliferation of industry and development.
I'm talking with Maya Van Rossum. She is head of the Delaware Riverkeeper organization, the Delaware Riverkeeper Network. I'm sorry, I drew a blank there for a minute. Also, she's author of The Green Amendment, Securing Our Right to a Healthy Environment. You should be able to find that, or you should be able to order it. It's going to be available in paperback by November 14th. Check that out at Amazon when you get a chance. I know I'll be checking that out as well. Real quick, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts, Maya, if I could, because what you're proposing means that there has to be some dramatic changes at the state and local level. And we just had a bunch of state and local elections last night. So does that encourage you somewhat?
It does encourage me. I mean, you know, one thing I want to recognize is this environmental degradation, right? It's not something new, and it's not limited to one party or another. We've had parties, both political parties, do the right thing and do the wrong thing over and over again. So, you know, we didn't get into this place because of one party. We got in this place because of a lot of people. But we are in this reality where we have a president backed by a Congress who is doing anything and everything he can to help industries be allowed to pollute more and more so they can increase their profits and their bottom lines. It's not about jobs. It really is about profits for the people in the boardrooms. At least that's the way I see it. And what it's doing, all of his efforts to roll back regulations and give more and more money to prop up the coal industry and other industries that are so devastating to communities, it's really just exposing to the light of day how big this problem is, how much of a political problem environmental degradation is, how much of it is a problem having to do with access, right? Big industrial operators that have more contacts and more money have more access, and therefore they get to be allowed to pollute more. So the fact that we, you know, people are reacting firmly and strongly and pushing back on this new reality that we're living in really does give me hope across a whole range of issues, one of them being the environment. But we're definitely not there, and we definitely have plenty of politicians, like I said, on both sides of the aisle that constantly do the wrong thing when it comes to environmental protection, because like you said, people just don't have the right appreciation for the environment, and they don't seem to be willing to stand up for it the way they need to. And, you know, so that is something that we still have to work very hard to change. And I think the conversation and the grassroots activism that builds around fighting for a constitutional amendment starts to get us that mind shift that can help us change that dynamic.
All right. We'll talk with Maya Van Rossum. She is head of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network at Del Riverkeeper on Twitter, also DelawareRiverkeeper.org for more information on that organization. But check out her new book, which comes out November 14th next week, The Green Amendment, Securing Our Right to a Healthy Environment. Maya, thanks so much for your time and your patience as well.
Great. I really appreciate it. And I do want to let everybody know, I don't get a single penny off the book. It all goes to environmental protection. So I didn't want anybody to think that I was, you know, out trying to sell a book so that I'll make money. It really is just about protecting the earth for all of us.
We appreciate that. Hey, no, thanks so much, Maya. We'll keep in touch, so we got to have you back on. I appreciate that very much.
You've been listening to a podcast of Reality Check, hosted by Charles Ellison, Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. till 7 p.m., right here on Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD.